You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are listening to Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD. We are Nicole-less again.
Oh, no.
Nicole-less. That sounds like a disease.
Yes. We have the Nicole-less that happens typically around a holiday or when she goes on vacation or goes to an awesome convention and leaves us behind. But alas,
we're going to get 2 weeks in a row with all the guys sooner or later.
Yeah. So, eventually. Guys, metaphorically speaking, meaning...
Metaphorically speaking.
Persons.
People. Persons.
On the show. Humanoids. Since we are missing the female Lightbugs. That is on the show. Not Token, mind you. She's awesome. But the two Chrises are here, Triplett and McFeely. Welcome, gentlemen. Woo! Crazy. Hello. We're still a little bit high off of seeing Dark of the Moon this week, so we won't be talking about that.
Dark of the Moon!
On this show. I prefer the
Dark of the Moon.
Dark of the Moon!
Version that Rod and I came up with independently. It is Fanboy versus the 5 week month, as this is it. This is the final week of the 5 week month, and it has left a lingering scar on me, in particular because Emerald Warriors came out, and this issue happens after War of the Green Lanterns, which has not come out yet. So I've opted not to read that, and therefore I've been left with two comics. Which
I'm so glad I didn't buy that, because I almost bought it thinking it was part of it. Nope. I was like, nope, it's
no
not.
Tag. I know. Thankfully, one of the kids in my shop is like, well, you know you want to wait until after War of the Grand. I'm like, really? Thanks. Jeez. But hey, there was stuff in my pull box, so that's good news. Speaking of news, there's none.
there really is.
The only thing, like, I mean, a couple things of note, we're not going to talk about on this show, but the end of Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes finally played here in the U.S.,
I saw it from Australian TV rips several months ago.
So if you don't steal things, or you're too lazy to steal things, then you got to watch it this weekend. Or on Netflix. It came out on Netflix, same day.
Okay, now, did Young Justice come out at the same time?
That was what I was going to say.
We do not. We do not speak of that, which must not be named.
It premiered on the week they did the halfway point of Avengers. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Not quite. But so,
I wanted to think that it was, and that would have been hilarious. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that whole thing is done, and yet we still don't have any Young Justice. Yeah, and we went into that at length on last week's show, but man, what a cluster that is.
Mercy.
So, what else? News-wise,
we've had DC have been running a roadshow around America for retailers, just to basically say, the real Hitchhiker's Guide stuff. Don't panic. here is why it will be okay. I don't want to call it damage control because that's not really what it is. It is a promotional tour, but there's that little tiny grain of that about it. And they're just restating a lot of things that we really already know if we're paying attention, but that they just want to make sure everybody understands. It's not a reboot, it's just a relaunch. It's all, everything still counts. Some books set in the past, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're trying not to shaft you as hard as we can when it comes to digital and so on and so forth.
Well, that's nice. So,
yeah, of which, for the most part, I've heard mixed things coming out of that as well. So, I don't know. There's also a promotional video that DC put out with, Dan DiDio and I think Jim Lee is on it, a couple of other people. But and they're talking about how awesome the new 52 is going to be. So... that is also out there.
That's what they're calling it now, too. The new 52. Yes. The new 52. That's new this 52. Buzz phrase they have for
it. I like to call it the canceled 26, but but it certainly will be the new 52 for a minute, and then it'll be the canceled 26. But
well, they have said that there was something else that's come out of it, is that they're giving everything is guaranteed through at least six issues. Okay. So
well, that's nice. Yeah.
You know what? So maybe some of my
six whole issues.
So maybe, we'll get six issues of Justice League, and then that seventh issue won't happen.
No, they have. Am I wrong? Did I? I heard a rumor or something that they made Jim Lee and Geoff Johns finish 12 issues of. Or get like several issues ahead on Justice
awesome.
League. I believe that is true. I don't have a confirmation on that.
If we get that first issue and it says guaranteed to go to 12 issues, that would be awesome.
We have 12 issues of this.
Yeah, we promise.
We promise.
Freddie, what is it? J.H. Williams must have. Quite a few issues of Batwoman done though by this point.
Good lord, he probably got like. 24 issues done in the time that
finished the series. You finished the series in the time that it's been delayed.
God.
Now, look for a wave of cancellations in March is what I would say.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, so some of my six-issue predictions.
Needs to start a pool, seriously. Just see what is first to go. You
boy,
know?
That would be
my
funny.
My money is on Resurrection, man. Maybe Batwing. And we're top three. That's the Resurrection.
How long does Mr. Terrific have?
I'm going to go with 80%.
Oh, he's going to be high up there as well, yeah.
I'm going to go with 80% of the Wildstorm stuff.
How about Voodoo? Yeah, Voodoo will be done after three issues.
Yeah.
I barely counted that. Yeah, those can't possibly last.
Yeah. So maybe I'm right. The canceled 26. That's the new 52. The new 52 followed by the canceled 26. Shortly thereafter. So, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, this is I don't want to be contrarian, and so I think that it is just kind of almost funny to see the way that this stuff kind of goes because it is so new and so different, you know, the fanboy reaction is change. No,
there's new and different, and then there's Batwing.
Well, yes.
See, I think I'm kind of curious. I'm gonna keep an eye on Batwing because it's always possible that like that might just be the little book that has to prove itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it might come out of the gate swinging and actually really deliver.
It might actually be the best comic that comes out that day.
Yeah,
who knows? Out of
sheer desire to prove itself.
Well, and that is the advantage to a lot of this is so many things are new and different that they do have an opportunity to reach an audience. That way. Plus, like I said, digital is going to change a lot of things, I think. Not in terms of... I think it offers like different opportunities. So,
yeah, that's another thing that's come out of this roadshow, actually, which is that digital sales apparently... direct market sales apparently outweigh digital things by something to the tune of 360-1.
Yeah, but, right now we're still not, in the same day, and, we're...
Yeah, definitely, so. But it's just like, that's why you can't throw all your eggs in the one basket,
No, but I think what the same day does, and it depends on, they have a little bit of time to really, prep, amp that up, push that out a little bit. I noticed that they have been doing a couple of, free comic pushes and things. In particular, I think they made a lot of, Birds of Prey, I think. They put some of that stuff out there. So maybe they're paying attention to the fact that women do use a lot of digital media and, might start picking some of this stuff up if they push it in that direction. And like I said, I think it has the potential to see maybe not as much print sales through, but they can see more sales through, so digital, and maybe that'll be the venue for some series, versus print, so...
Well, yeah, but that's even with this big push, I still think we're years off of seeing that actually happen.
Yeah, I mean, no, but
if they
want to
make something
somewhere.
Digital only, it's good. I think that the first. I mean, it's not like we haven't ever had comics that were just exclusive to the internet before. They've shat out a few things, and shat out is definitely the euphemism to use because they just little throwaway things is all they ever put up online. So it's got to matter if they really want to have anything be digitally exclusive. I mean, I could see like maybe some of the not the bottom rung books from this relaunch, but like the next rung up, maybe go. Going like digital exclusive or something in a few years' time if they manage to hold in for that long.
Yeah, well, because I think it's all about what medium, what titles are going to reach what audience and what medium. You know, right now we're up
what
against
titles,
right
what
now
audience
the,
is
right.
Resurrection. I'm going to reach.
Right. I wonder what the perception would be if a comic quit being printed, but it became digital only. I mean, would
but
that
it,
just well, like that,
yeah,
that equal death in sales or something just because of that?
Well, that's what that's something we're moving towards. You know, I think we're still a few years away from seeing it, but that's the second rung up titles that I'm talking about.
So
you
like,
know, I think
so like Voodoo gets canceled from printing by issue 3, but they decide, hey, we're going to keep publishing it digitally, and then like by mm-hmm. issue 6, it's like nah. Nah.
Well, but you got to—I mean, you got to remember that in terms of infrastructure, right? In terms of you look at it from like cost analysis, right? Every time you print a comic, you have to physically send that to a printer. It has to be physically printed and assembled on an assembly line. You have to determine how many you're going to print. You have to determine, you know, what ads and content that you're going to put in that comic. When you distribute it digitally, all of your costs is in the front end is in terms of setting up the technology. Once you set up the technology, once you get the issues, they're already digital. You just transcribe the PDF into whatever format you want to, you know, send it through digitally, and then there's no per unit cost, you know, on that item. So your audio lost out, McFeely. And he's still not in there.
He's out.
And we lost his audio.
Well, what about
advertising revenue?
There's what?
There's no advertising revenue in digital comics.
Well, right, but you're also getting right, but you're also getting direct sale through. So there's no overhead, and that's what I'm saying. There's no printing cost. Well, so all of your costs is in the upfront.
The apps go. Somebody gets a cut somewhere.
Yeah, well, because those apps have ads. Typically, I mean, the apps will have ads.
It's not just a straight-up DC suddenly
it's
gets straight dollars, you know, cost.
It's through Comixology, right? Is that how they're going to do it?
Right.
So Comixology's probably getting like a chunk of that, a huge chunk of it or something.
Yeah,
I think, they're paying
for
rights.
Start up their own app if they don't have one already.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, it is better in some ways to outsource. I mean, as long as you're outsourcing it, but you own the distribution rights, is the way to do that. Like, you're outsourcing the distribution, but you still own the rights to the original product, which means that, you know, you have a contract for this mount, but if you need to pull up tent pegs or whatever and move, you get to take your content with you. That's the way to do that.
Cassius in the chat said maybe there should be advertising in the digital comics. Brings the price down. I agree.
It
brings the price down. Do
I'm
it.
I'm not in favor.
No, I think
I have a different position on that. I don't need the prices coming down.
If I get a page that just says, "Hey, you know, buy Axe deodorant or something," then I'll be fine. If it's like 99 cents.
But here's the thing: the price does come down, right? And I think that I think in some ways, you know, it's the right. I mean, you pay full price up front and then later. I mean, even my retailer had a deal a couple weeks ago where he had all back issues for 50% off. Which, if you've already had to pay for it, even if you sell it at a loss, I mean, it's better than trying to put it in a box and have it sit there for eternity, knowing that it'll just sit there in a box forever. But I think in terms of the digital distribution, like I said, all of your costs is in the upfront in terms of the developing the technology. And then in terms of paying your writers and creators, you know, in terms of what they do per issue. So you have the potential to keep up with that without doing the print, because the print is a little bit of a loss, depending on how much you sell through. So anyway, why am I saying all this? What I'm saying is I think that there is a potential that some of these titles could see either limited print run or a digital-only print run if they become popular enough through digital avenues. And that's
if they suck hard enough in paper avenues.
Well,
we don't want to pay the cost of printing these, but we pay the creators to get them done. We better try and get some revenue back on them, so they just release them digitally.
But it's still medium-based, right? I mean, so that's what I'm saying. There are other audiences that may be interested in those titles and buy them in significant volumes.
Allegedly.
In a different medium.
These audiences are not truly proven to exist, but then that's a big part of it is trying to change that.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I think that this has the potential to reach those audiences now. They have not been reached as yet.
Going to bring people in by the score.
Well, It's our pinata of the episode.
We shouldn't pick on Voodoo, because Voodoo might turn out to be awesome. And Ron Mars doing that one. Is it Ron Mars?
I don't know, actually. Okay.
We'll say Hawkman. Hawkman.
Yeah, Hawkman. James Robinson. That is going to suck.
No. We just got to keep Voodoo for this one. We'll get a new pinata next week. Don't worry. We'll just make a list. Our pinata of the week. Grab your sticks, kids. So, any other news? I don't think so. I mean, we're still kind of riding this.
Yeah, that's all it is. I mean, the news is just on the quiet right now. We've got San Diego creeping up. I guess that's kind of news, which is the news that there's a lot of big Hollywood and TV and film projects are pulling out of having panels and displays at San Diego this year.
I know that, movies, a lot of movies have pulled out because... the problem with it is by the time Comic-Con happens, I think a lot of the movies have realized that they're either, with Comic-Con happening late July, either their movies are already out or their movies won't be out until next year.
Well, a lot of it is buzz, not just things for that there and then.
But the buzz has been negative. That's the problem.
A big theory that I've seen going around is that companies are just realizing now at this stage that the geek community is not any kind of indicator or any kind of way of really spreading the word. I mean, you look at all the big movies like Scott Pilgrim or Green Lantern.
Watchmen got like a lot of big buzz.
A big buzz at the Geek Fest. And then it was like it just didn't translate into market penetration.
No,
they may just be realizing. And I'm sure that there's plenty of people who, never having gone to San Diego, not having any one opinion about it one way or the other, I'm sure that there are people who are happy about that and the fact that San Diego could maybe become about comics again because it's been taken over by this sort of thing in the last few years. Let us not forget the furore last year with the Twilight Invasion people were raging about. So it may be an interesting landscape. We may actually see some comic book announcements at it this year.
Yeah, I think the thing, and kind of what I was going to... Yeah, I mean, the geek community, and I think we could have told them this, we're not a good gauge for how well a movie is going to do.
We like shitty movies sometimes.
Sometimes we like shitty movies. Sometimes we hate good movies. Sometimes we hate things that are well received. I mean, the geek community, as far as like the uber Transformers fans, we watched the first Transformer movie and just was like, especially the second one, we're like, what? And everybody went to that movie and it made millions of dollars, and we're like, no. So
I don't think that the funny thing is that despite the fact that there's no real change in critical reception for Dark of the Moon, generally speaking, I think the Transformers fandom has responded very positively to Dark of the Moon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I meant like Revenge of the Fallen, so I'm saying like up to that.
I wonder if it's just an offset from Revenge of the Fallen thing, because I don't think this is like...
I think our bar was set so low.
Well, okay, but...
Really think Dark of the Moon is better than the first movie.
I think it has more of a coherent plot
than the first.
I mean, maybe not more so than the first movie.
It feels more like a Transformers movie than the first movie.
Yeah, it feels
like a movie about a guy in his car.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, that's what I think. I think it loses a lot of that sense of wonder and that sense of the foreign intruding upon the norm that makes the first movie as entertaining as it is, that made it work, essentially. That all the critics tended to agree that that was the best element of the first movie that got the movie its fair to middling scores.
Yeah, I know.
Straight up robot bombast just doesn't seem to do it for the critics.
But that, so even all
America,
even that all being the case, though, I think what the geek community thinks is not a good litmus test what the public is going to think. And I think that even those of us in the
Green
geek
Lantern
community can speak to that. Yeah.
So one question.
Did you see Green Lantern, Jamie?
No, still not seen that yet.
You need to go see it.
I know. I'm gonna wait. I'll go like when it's cheaper or something. I don't know.
Okay, one question before we leave this topic. So, like, if Big Hollywood's pulling out of Comic-Con, are they pulling out of comic book movies?
No. I think it's all scheduling and it's all reception, right? So, like I said, Comic-Con happens late July. The problem is that their movies are either already out.
Green Lantern is any indication. I might not want to make a comic book movie anymore.
Well, that's not
making a Green Lantern too.
It's just DC. That's just DC. So it's either too early or too late. I mean, it's either too early that by the time the movie comes out next year, all the buzz is dead, or that by the time they've, you know, got to Comic-Con, the movie's over. So, but I think what I have heard is that television series are still interested in being at Comic-Con because most of them aren't going to start until, like, August. So it's kind of perfectly timed for at least American television. I think British television, I'm sure, I'm assuming as well. But
yeah,
it's sort of like that. Okay. Well, I don't know. I speak for America. Right. Merck.
America!
I speak for Merck.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah. Tomorrow. Yep. By the way, tomorrow is 4th of July. Very big celebration when we celebrate kicking your ass!
We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate by blowing up a piece of our country tomorrow.
That's right. We celebrate by blowing shit up. That's how we do it in America.
Wacky colonials.
Yes. Oh yeah. Paul Revere, when he warned the British that the British were coming, as Sarah Palin said. But anyway, she's dumb. So. Anyway, yes, so television series, I think they're going to start to promote heavily more so at Comic-Con, in particular if they have any kind of geek angle. So who knows, we may see people out there with flyers really trying to get this Wonder Woman series going.
Doubtful.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Wonder Woman was cast to be Lady J in the G.I. Joe
movie. Yeah.
Oh.
I can see that much more than I can.
And The Rock. The Rock's going to be Roblox.
What the fuck is that? Where is my Terry Crews?
What? Anyway.
That's
Terry Crews. Roblox.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's one of those other ones you can't believe it's really getting a sequel.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I'm like, I skimmed like through the first film and I was like, what?
To be directed by the guy doing the Justin Bieber movie. Oh, I can't wait.
Good. Man.
How did that manage a sequel though?
I
mean, I own it on Blu-ray and everything, but that's not the thing.
But like I said, I am completely not invested in G.I. Joe. Don't give a damn.
It's probably because people like Hasbro dared them to make a sequel.
Yeah.
And they said, okay.
I'll blame all that Transformers money.
Yeah. God. Why? I mean, because Hasbro already is losing their ass with Hub.
Oh, why? For God's sake, they are not.
Well, they're getting optioned down. It's not looking good for them.
Yeah, you know what? If you'd read the Fool's Theory, I listened to that episode of RFC and was shouting into my headphones the whole time. the debt has something to do with from last December. It's nothing to do with ratings. It's nothing to do with the quality of the programs. The channel's not in any danger.
I heard it had something to do with
you guys for 20 minutes about how
I heard it had something to do with board games. The board game market crashed.
Ah, the board game market crashed.
That's a valuable corner of the friggin', yeah. Well, I'm sure Monopoly the movie will restore that.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
No, that's okay. We at RFC never claim to know whatever the hell we're talking about, so. we are purely idiots.
Suffice it to say, we're just not really sure how G.I. Joe wound up with a sequel.
Yeah.
It's not like the first one did terribly. I imagine it made its money back, but it's like.
I think it did.
Did it?
Nobody cared.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about G.I. Joe. Only people who care about G.I. Joe are adult nerds.
Right.
We walked out on the movie.
Kids,
you walked out?
Me and Kilby and somebody else left before the movie ended.
Really? Wow. And that says a lot. Well, probably because Kilby is such a big G.I. Joe fan, too. RFC was almost a G.I. Joe podcast, y'all.
Yes,
G.I.
Joe is one of those things that just, like Star Wars, it has a large enough adult fan base that it's able to subsist on that. Because I don't think children buy G.I. Joe at all.
You can't even find them in the store, hardly. Maybe a Ross.
I found one store where I can start finding the new ones. And, like, I go there, and they sell out because I think everybody goes to that one store to get them.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait a week, and then they get some more in.
God. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I find them occasionally at Toys R Us and maybe once at Walmart, but that's about it. So, anyway, all this stuff has nothing to do with comic books. So, other than, yes, and Comic-Con is... So, we will have... So, we do have kind of a big month, though, coming up for Fanboy Versus, because, like I said, we're going to have some on-site coverage and simulcast stuff for San Diego Comic-Con. Yeah, we are going to do that. So
nobody tells me nothing.
Well, I'm basically, I knew this was coming up, but I've been procrastinating, so it's like, yeah, we're going to do that for sure. Most of it will be late, so I don't know how we'll get McFeely in there, but definitely we'll do a Saturday cast.
Something on
that. So we'll have that, plus Captain America comes out that weekend as well.
I saw the 3D trailer for that, Touch the Dark of the Moon, and it's like, God, I hope this doesn't suck.
No, it looks pretty good. I'm excited. That's good.
Did you see the kind of spoiler trailer? I saw like TV trailer.
I haven't seen it, but I heard about it.
You heard about it. Okay. I wasn't going to say anything about it because I don't know if it's considered a spoiler or not.
Wow. I don't know. I haven't seen it. So, but
I saw the Thor, and I was like, this is going to be great. I know it's going to be great. So went in there completely confident that Thor was going to be great, and it was fucking great. And I went in there.
Thor 2 was announced. We didn't talk about that.
There you go.
That was news.
We have now talked about it. Thor 2.
There you go. That's probably all we know, anyways.
Kenneth
Branagh's not directing. Yeah.
No? Oh, sad face.
Don't tell me with tremendous fear all of a sudden. It's X-Men was fantastic as well against expectations, but now it's like Green Lantern's making me second guess everything.
Yeah.
Completely different studios, completely different people making it, and it's just like, oh, shitty comic book movie, no, not all the others will be dead.
Let's see, so Comic-Con is the 20th through the 24th, so we'll be doing certain amounts of coverage of that, and maybe even just a pre-recorded wrap-up or something, but we'll try to do some live stuff as well for people that we have out there, and I think we'll do broadcast at least Sunday, and then probably our wrap-up on this show on the 24th. With Fanboy Versus. So,
Is anybody going to Comic-Con? Like, anybody over there at RFC going to? I know
I know some E&I people are. I'm sure that Jay is. Jack probably as well. So that's where we'll get some of that coverage. I will get more details on that. So, if Brian was here, he would probably say more. Real quick, do want to mention, mark your calendars. June 30th, July 30th, coming up, which will be the Saturday after that Comic-Con broadcast, we will be remote live simulcasting the Avengers panel from the North Carolina thing.
I believe it's a library.
It's at a library.
I believe it's a building where you can read.
At the, I've got the details here right in front of me, but it does not say what the convention is called, which would probably be helpful.
I have no idea either. I've never been to it.
But hey, it's gonna be cool. We're gonna talk Avengers. The panel is from 3 to 4. I'm assuming that's Eastern, so that'll be 2 to 3. So there you go, McFeely. You'll be able to be there because that's 2 to 3 our time. Eastern time.
Yeah, okay.
So, so that's not
doing the panel or what?
Yes, we are. We are the panel. So,
now, how the hell does that work? We don't know shit.
don't
the same thing.
Don't tell them that. We know a lot about comics.
We are from the future and know a lot about history.
Yes. I probably will be studying Wikipedia aggressively that morning. But nonetheless, I think they'll be interested in our opinions. I think the idea here is we're going to be talking about Avengers in terms of just a little bit of the comic, and then we'll be talking thoughts on Thor and Captain America, and then what we think is going to transition.
How am I there?
How
am I going to be there?
You're going to be there just like you are now, and I'm going to be there just like I am now.
Oh, okay. We're doing a
Skype thing, and Triplett's gone. So Triplett will be
back. Is somebody going to be physically there?
Yes, Brian will be physically there.
Going to be up on a screen or something? Yes,
we will be on a screen, and then we will simulcast it online as well. So it'll be a special edition.
I gotta shave.
You don't have to shave, dude. You don't shave for the show every week. You are.
I used to, but then I got fucking tired of it.
You are an internet star every week like this. So.
Yeah, but there's nobody out there. I'm shouting into a void right now.
Tens of people watch this on YouTube every week. So, you know, keep that in mind. Literally tens of people watch this show. So anyway, yeah. So mark your calendars for that. Big month for us, really.
Yeah,
here.
Some here at TV.
Fanboy versus. So there's not just the live people. There's we people watch this on YouTube.
That's out there too.
So as soon as Triplett comes back, I think we'll move on to actual reviews.
Yes, I'm sort of back.
You're sort of back. He's sort of back. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, go ahead and...
Is there any kind of structure to stick to? We just lose it, don't we, at the very start?
God, yeah.
What is that, like 3/4 of an hour about nothing?
You know, Nicole is the glue.
I know, she really... Without Nicole, God, we go everywhere.
I blame you, JD.
I am the host of the show. I am completely at fault. But this is good stuff. We have talked good stuff. Don't talk down what we have done. This is all podcasting gold here. Yep. I'm going to go with that.
That sounds good.
So, all right, Triplett, talk your comics, sir.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Walking Dead number 86.
Does the kid still have a hole in his head?
Yeah, that's the comic with the kid that's got a hole in his head.
Awesome.
That boy got a hole. Hey,
I don't know what to say about it other than, you know, he's still alive.
Really?
He isn't really doing anything. He's just laying in the bed. Basically, is he going to live? Is he going to die? How is this affecting everybody? You know, Rick's a basket case. You know, it's, you know, stuff's going down. It kind of like this is like, you know, the downtime in Walking Dead where after, you know, shit's hit the fan. It was like a zombie attack or like the mayor attack or, you know, what was his name? The mayor? No, he was the governor, wasn't he?
The governor.
You know what I'm talking about?
No
idea.
Yeah,
the governor? Yeah. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Basically, you know, when something big happens, then like Walking Dead just kind of slows down. The comic keeps coming out, but not a whole lot happens in the issue. So that's basically what this issue is now. I mean, it's pretty much like they're continuing with their plans to turn this into a community and... You know, is Carl going to live? Is he when he wakes up? Is he going to be brain damaged or something? Who knows? You know,
your brains are hanging out.
Yeah, your brains are hanging out. They kind of see the possible idea that maybe Rick's gonna have some sort of a relationship with Michonne or something. I don't know. I mean, he kind of has this little conversation with her.
It would be about time that we learn something about that sword girl. Because she's always terribly mysterious, and I don't think we've ever actually learned anything about her mysterious past. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did we lose Triplett?
No, maybe.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Yeah, there he is.
What'd you say?
I said, have we ever actually learned anything about Michonne's past?
No, she cut the zombies' heads off. That's about it. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, you know, if they're going to go down that route, maybe that's what they should start thinking about in this downtime.
Isn't that kind of dangerous? Don't you get blood on you when you...
I want to say
that... That's not how it works.
Oh.
I want to say that... I can't remember, but didn't, like, they say, like, at one point that Michonne was, like, either maybe, like, a lawyer or something? Or am I just imagining shit?
Too long. I don't remember.
I don't know. I need to really go back and read some older issues because I've forgotten everything. Like, I don't even remember, like, how Rick's wife died or any of that stuff. I need to go back.
I remember.
I mean, that was, like, the assault on the prison. And I know that, I want to say the governor shot her.
It was somebody else, but it was one of the governor's people. Yeah,
I can't remember. But, like, that's just, like, well, like you were saying, like, maybe they need to start getting into, like, okay, more about these characters. But there's not a whole lot of characters left, though. I mean, they keep dying.
Well,
you know? So maybe it's time for, like,
the thing
characters
about the Walking,
to show up.
I just think the thing about The Walking Dead is that who they were is irrelevant. You know, I think that's kind of the message of The Walking Dead. It's a different world. It's different lives for all of them now, so the past doesn't matter too much. But whenever you actively cast somebody like Michonne as the mysterious girl who walks out of the forest one day and has a sword, I kind of feel like, you know, let me learn something about that, whatever that is, what's going on there.
Yeah. And we might. I mean, we might get some more information on that. But like I said, there's not a whole lot except for them just, you know, kind of talking about stuff that's going to happen. They don't actually do anything yet because it's like the story's moving at such a slow pace. It's like this is like the next day or something, and Carl's still in the bed, and they're still kind of clearing zombies, and like their relationships are like busting up with everybody. Like people that were together before are now, you know, done with each other, and then new relationships seem to be formed. Like I said, the kind of tease that Rick and Michonne might be, you know, starting a relationship or something. I don't know. It's going somewhere, but the problem with Walking Dead is it's going there in a very slow pace.
Zombie-like.
It's walking. Yes. It is sort of doing the clump drag.
I think the more interesting thing with Walking Dead is that season 2 is going to get here soon for the TV show.
Oh yeah, man.
I got to finish season 1. I still have that in my TiVo.
You sick freak.
You need to watch that.
I tried to, and it just was like I couldn't really get into it, to be honest. So I got to try again.
You need to before the second season starts. We need to talk about the premiere of that. I think that'd be worth talking about.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, always, definitely.
Sure, why not?
And now, okay, to go on with the really strange this week, I read an issue of Uncanny X-Men. Oh,
what?
My God.
Well, hey, I'll be honest. I've been thinking about picking Uncanny X-Men up after it reboots to number one because Kieran Gillen's writing it.
Well, she's writing it now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know, but it's number one. Yeah, you know, I'll actually play into the marketing. But no, that's Kieran's journey into mystery Gillen.
Yeah.
You know? I'm kind of thinking of picking it up, and I don't buy any X-Men.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I buy Uncanny X-Men, but I got into a point where, like, for some reason, I didn't read it, and then, like, I quit reading it. And I've got, like, a year's worth of Uncanny X-Men to read. And I thought, well, okay, I'm going to go back and reread that. I never did, so I thought, well, okay, they're ending it soon. I don't care. I'm just going to read the newest issue. If something awesome happens in it, I'll go back and read the rest of it to find out how we got to this place. And, well, I read it, and, you know, it's okay. You know?
So what's the thrilling endorsement?
I mean, it's there's characters that I have no idea who they are. There's like this character Hope, which I know a little bit about, not a whole lot, but basically from reading the issue, it kind of sounds like she's like the savior of the mutants, where you know the mutants
Hope
couldn't.
Hope is the baby who was born in Second Coming, or no?
She was like the baby that Cable was protecting in the future.
Yeah.
And she's I think she's got the power to maybe reactivate the mutant gene. You know, like the House of the M thing made it so there's like only so many mutants still left, and like a lot of them lost their powers, and they're like a dying species.
I know she copies other powers to some extent.
Yeah, she can do that too. But
can you recycle your video real quick, Triplet? I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Thanks. Let me fix that.
And then he's going to get completely lost. Kieran Gillen's a guy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Kieran.
Is that better? Can you see me now?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Like we've said
Kieran is a guy.
Okay, good deal. Just want to make sure.
It's a man's name. It's an Irish name.
Well, yeah. Because all... No, never mind. There's plenty of Irish names, sir.
You're just thinking of Karen Gillen from Doctor Who.
Right, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
You can talk about her today if you want to. Okay. But the comic, like I said, it's not bad. It's just like I feel like maybe this ain't like one of the better issues. Maybe since like what is it like two more issues or something or one more issue and they're canceling it.
There are bites, yeah.
It's rebooting. Yeah, I might pick up that.
I think it may be closer to. I think it's more like October time. Something. So it's a couple of months yet. But...
So
yeah, I'm thinking about checking it out. It's like purely down to Kieran Gillen doing it.
So maybe this is just like the, you know, kind of, you know, slowing down issue, and we're just saving the awesome stuff for when it comes back or something.
I don't know. I mean, I leafed through the last issue, and the last issue was part of a story arc where they were going back to the break world and everything from Whedon's Astonishing.
Ooh, I need to read that.
About that. Yeah, there you go. You see? Yeah.
Well, this one's pretty much standalone. I mean, because it's basically... Hope gets kidnapped by this group of people, and you know the mutants that she was with go back and tell Wolverine. Wolverine's like, I got it, or something. Like he's gonna go and like take care of him or something by himself. And it turns out she's been kidnapped by this dude in this red suit that looks like a cyborg. And at first I thought was Deadpool, but it's not. And he says his name. Is you might know who this is. I don't know who this is. He says, I'm Frank Bohannon. They called me the Crimson Commando.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the Crimson Commando. Yeah. Crimson
Since
Commando
he was in World War II, he said he fought in World War II and everything.
Wasn't a real World War II character, but I think he was a Claremont creation and introduced as a mutant. Introduced as one of those retroactive World War II type characters.
He said his power, I think, was that he aged slowly. Like, he didn't...
Well, everybody in World War II did, funnily enough.
Yeah.
So when the... try your video one more time. I'm sorry, it's stuck in the circle.
You messed up?
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. If it doesn't work, we'll just go with it.
Better?
It's looping. And there we go. Okay.
Better?
Good. Yep. Thank
you. So basically, what happened with... You don't see it?
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't see it. Sorry. Here we go. Oh, there, I see you now. Okay.
But basically what happened was, like, this dude, you know, he I think his powers, he aged slowly. He, you know, he wouldn't die or something. He'll live forever.
Isn't that just House... a comic book power? I mean, that's just... like, Peter Parker is supposed to be, like, 70, and he's like...
That's, like, everybody's power.
That's
now.
What I'm saying. Like, everybody's power.
Unless you're, like, age. Image Comics, that's everybody's power now.
Yeah.
But so when House of M happened, you know, everybody lost their mutant powers, and except for like a few, like there's like a few people that kept their powers. He was one of the guys that lost his powers, and they are basically keeping him alive as like he's like a cyborg. He's like a walking corpse now, but he's like slowly dying. So he's like kidnapped Hope because he's heard that she's got this ability to kind of reignite mutant abilities, and he's trying to, you know, force her to use that power. And you know, he interrogates her, and she headbutts him, and you know, says no. You know,
it's not a very polite way to say no.
There it is. I don't know if you can see it in the video, but crack headbutt.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess since she was trained by Cable, she's a badass or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she is.
Cable trained her, so yeah.
But so like she's like sitting in the interrogation room. Wolverine comes in, sneaks her out. Basically, they're trying to escape. There's this little stuff where Wolverine's uncomfortable around her, and they talk about that. And I'm assuming – I don't know because to keep in mind, I've not read X-Men comics in a very long time. I'm assuming it's because she looks just like Jean Grey.
Yeah, I think that's the implication.
I don't know if she is Jean Grey. I don't know if she's supposed to be the
daughter.
Well,
people were speculating for a very long time that Hope was just going to be the reincarnation of Jean whenever she was born and everything. But
yeah,
they haven't gone
that
way with it
yet. Yeah, she is. But, yeah, he kind of doesn't talk about it. He just, you know, says he doesn't talk to her. She makes him uncomfortable. And so the bad guys come after him. They, you know, blow up this Jeep that Wolverine's in, and he gets shredded to pieces. I mean, he looks awful. He looks like hamburger. See if you can see that. Look at that.
Whoa.
He's a hamburger. Yeah.
Well done.
And so, like, the Crimson Commando dude, he's, like, you know, torturing Hope, and he starts cutting her up. Says he cuts her nose and her face and everything, threatening her, saying, you don't need your face, you don't need your legs to, you know, heal me and everything. And then he notices she starts to heal, and he says, what, do you have healing powers? And she says, no, I mimic powers from mutants. They've just got to be near me enough. And then who shows up? Wolverine! He messes them up even with a hamburger. Yeah.
Wow.
And then basically, you know, they get away and they have their little talk. And I don't know, this might be something else where, again, I don't know what's going on, but apparently there's something that Hope is involved with. Like maybe they've seen like the future or something, and they know she's going to do something bad or something.
Because, she lived in it.
Yeah, she lived in the future. She grew up in the future, but they have a talk or something about, like, you know, she says, you know, what's the problem? You know, why do you hate me or something? And he says something like, someone would have to, let's see, everyone just skirts around it. What I could become scares you that much. And he says, it's not what you could become. It's what happens then. That's what scares me. Someone could have to step in. Guess whose temperament and talent tends to make him that someone. So I guess Wolverine thinks maybe he's going to have to kill her. And the fact that she looks like Jean Grey is like hitting a little bit too close to home. Because didn't he have to kill her? In the
no, Magneto killed her.
Magneto killed her. Okay, I was thinking maybe he had to put her out of her misery or something. Like
Wolverine. Well, he did. He sort of killed her. He killed her so she could become Phoenix. But then,
yeah,
Magneto,
I'm thinking. I remember specifically her. Him stabbing her with his claws or something. And maybe that kind of hits.
So she could save them from a plummeting asteroid.
Yeah. So it basically ends with her saying, Logan, if it goes that way, if you have to do it, he says, yeah, don't worry, I'll make it quick. She says, no, I don't care about quick. If it's that bad, just make it sure. and that's how the issue ends.
Oh, huh.
It wasn't a bad issue. I feel like if I would have read, you know, the previous stuff and known more about the characters, it would have been better. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep getting it at least till the new number one comes out and see if that's a good starting point to start reading again.
Hopefully, a number one would be.
I might check it out. I don't know what sick world this is where I'm talking about checking out Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah,
but
well, I like the X-Men. It's just they need to be written well.
Yeah, but come on. This character, I mean, she's trained by Cable. Cable's awesome. Just ask the 90s.
Yeah.
But
she has her own comic and everything.
Oh, wow. I mean,
Generation Hope. Gillen writes it, too.
I mean, Cable
really?
Didn't have his own comic yeah. either.
Yes, he did. Two or three.
That's what I was like. He's awesome, I promise.
See, he was X-Force, he was Cable, he was Cable and Deadpool.
Cable and Deadpool.
He was probably like
Cable.
Something else.
Right. Cable. Had all those team-ups. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's
excellent.
Me.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
I will be brief. I only have one thing to review. You may be shocked to know that I am reviewing FF this week.
Oh, my God.
And not McFeely, because apparently he read other things. And this is
I got some
I
surprises for y'all
Man,
later.
It's going to be big. So, this is FF.
But I got look at it. There it is. There.
This is not like this is like a calm before the storm again, almost. I mean, there was a couple of big moments, but overall, it was still like things are moving around them as opposed to, yeah. you know, in
this
them.
This is why it's
so.
Not top of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
We normally put FF up there, but...
So we realize the kids have alerted Reed to the fact that Sue has gone out, and they have this conch, which is kind of funny. And the guns show up again. I'm always going to see the guns now, McFeely. I can't.
Since I pointed that one out.
Yeah, pointed that one out. So we got the boys pointing their little, you know, sucker dart
guns. It becomes
guns.
A little more prominent when I see it myself now that I brought it up last time.
That is going to be interesting to watch. But yeah, they have their little guns pointed at, of course, this Council of Doom, I think is what they called them. Which is awesome.
Franklin says, easy, boys. We don't want a ruckus.
Yeah.
Doom just shoots him a go to hell. Look like I can do something.
This is so great. Yeah, and then the... It's like
Bentley.
Something I can Bentley is like something I can help you with, Mister. And Doom's response is just and then they find a big hole in the ground. Once they hook up the conch to the machines, because that makes sense.
You know, I've said that before, but Doom rocks a white cape, doesn't he?
He does. He does. It's kind of spiffy. I like it. So we cut back to the battle. Outside the city.
15 minutes ago.
Yeah, 15 minutes previous. And, of course, you know, we found out the last issue is where Sue finally saw one of the Reeds, but she thinks it's her Reed. She
doesn't know about the other Reed.
Right, because she doesn't know about the other Reeds. And she quickly realizes it's a different Reed, and the different Reed quickly shoots her in the face.
Yep.
I mean, like, materializes.
That's another way of putting it.
I mean, he's just like makes this interesting line, which is like, I want to know more about this because he's like, I'm much more partial to brunettes. So I'm like, what? Is there something I don't know? But anyway, totally materializes a gun out of nothing and shoots her in the face.
That's the kind of funky super science adventures that we should see. Suddenly because.
Right. I needed a gun to shoot you in the face, and here it is.
I have a gun now.
Woohoo! Alex kicks some ass for about 10 seconds. Where he like creates a huge like gulf and then raises a barrier, to like you know kind of wall up where these armies are attacking, and it's really cool until the lobster dude breaks his fucking arm. Dude, that has gotta hurt like a son of a bitch.
Always watch out for the lobster, man.
But I think that this is
people.
I think that this is I think it's kind of stepping up the danger level because you know now Alex has sort of tasted blood, if you will. I mean he's you know really been injured
well, it's
in
not
the
as if
doing...
he's never done it before.
No, but I mean I think
but he is the oldest of the young kids, you know.
Exactly.
So they're ramping it up slowly.
Well, and this is the first time he's ever broken a bone even, so you know, you've got to imagine this is,
true.
You know, it's definitely, I think it's a turning point for how much danger maybe some of the other characters will be in, what they're going to face. Anyway, they break through the outer shield and blow it the hell up. And, yeah. So, and there's kind of a stuck-in moment here with Ben and Alicia. Yeah. Just kind of Ben dealing with certain issues, not even really hardly worth mentioning. But Sue has a come-to-Jesus meeting with Reed. I love the ending where it sort of hangs that conversation, which is, "I've done something terrible," is Reed's line.
Yeah.
Which is just like, oh. And again, I mean, you know, not to mention, you know, not to not mention the art, but the art is just great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Barry Kitson doing this issue again. He did the last issue, too. And he's not the regular writer, but I think the double book month there last month probably hit Steve Epting pretty hard. And I'm pretty sure that we're due to expect another double chipping month for FF very soon as well. If it's not this month, it's next month.
Mm-hmm. But very nice work on this. I mean, some of the moods and moment. I mean, the ink on this panel where Reed's like away, you know, facing away from Sue after she asks if he's been hiding something from her is just brilliant. You can just see the sort of devastation in his face in particular. I mean, just really great art, you know, out of that. We go back to the Council of Reeds as they're working in the City of the High Evolutionary. And apparently they're working out a deal where they're going to get the machine working, but they have to make a deal not to accept the mole people.
Whenever the mole man first appeared back at the or very early on, he was like, something's stealing my mole people.
Yeah.
And it was like, and that's all the mole man wants. It's so pathetic. But it's so the mole man.
Yeah.
I do not know when the mole man was last a threat.
Apparently now.
1963, maybe?
Sort of. yeah, really? Yeah. When did it launch? Yeah. and then the last thing we see is the Inhuman City, I guess, flying in. Is that what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Bolt apparently is back.
Oh, he's going to kick some
ass. He's going to kick some ass. Yes. So yep. The Inhumans dropping in. Yes, the war.
I'm really happy to see the Inhumans back on Earth, back in the pages of Fantastic Four where they belong and not floating off in some cosmic event.
Yes. No more space stuff. Bring them back. So, anyway, like I said,
could just relegate the Black Panther to a Fantastic Four supporting character again and stop pretending he deserves a comic of his own.
Yes. Which we'll get, you know. So, Mark Miller's, Mark Waid's.
Mark Waid, Daredevil.
Taking over Daredevil.
Can't wait.
That doesn't mean Black Panther's going anywhere, but yeah, I'm going to check that Daredevil out too, so we'll be talking about that.
So, like I said, you know, and again, it's this pace that Hickman is able to create where it's like there's a lot of these moments and they're going to be important and they are important. And so, in this particular issue, nothing like earth shattering other than like the return of Black Bolt coming in at the end. So, that'll, you know, nicely segue into the next. So,
it's more putting of the pieces in place, you know, because we've got, you know, that's Atlantis taken out. They've already moved on to the High Evolutionary. Now the Inhumans are involved in it, and they just they have the Negative Zone. We already saw one of the Reeds making a deal with the Nihilists in the Negative Zone. So although we know this story is going to run for a while yet, this war is not just going to be one trade and it's over. You know, it's going to last a while. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering where things are going to go, because all the Reeds are, as Reeds would, moving very quickly and efficiently, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they're putting it together quickly, so I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, I love that line, like, about the High Evolutionary's engine they were talking about. Yep, same problem we've always seen. Yep, we know how to fix it. It's like, you know, because they've done this on, like, 15 different Earths or whatever.
It's been a while, they said, but they have done this before. Whatever Saul's anvil is, they've done it.
Yep, so, scary. Anyway, so there you go, FF, putting the pieces together. So, anyway, all right, there you go, McFeely. Let's talk about...
Okay, well, I got two little strange things for you, but just before I get into them, I want to touch briefly on Avengers The Children's Crusade, which came out this week, and I'm really...
Hey, that came out! Yay!
Yeah. Well, I wanted to stop and talk about this because we were talking about mutants. Now, you may remember our dramatic cliffhanger from last issue was the Scarlet Witch getting her memories and powers back after everything. And this issue follows through on that, with everybody kind of dealing with that, getting their shit together, running from the Avengers, and paying a visit to X-Factor. Why X-Factor? Seems a little odd. Well, that is remembering that the original mandate of X-Factor, back when they started out, was finding out what caused M-Date. They didn't know at the time that's what X-Factor was about. It's drifted off to be about something else entirely. But the key thing about this issue is that the Scarlet Witch successfully gives Richter his powers back.
Mmm.
She has the power to undo M-Day, and that is what she says she's setting out to do at the end of this story. So, unassuming bi-monthly nature of this aside, and the way it's kind of disappeared off the radar, with three more issues to go, bi-monthly, 6 months, there's all the time in the world for it to turn back on this premise and not go through with it all, but if it carries on through to its conclusion, I mean, this has the potential to be the most important mutant-related book of the year, if not the most important Marvel book of the year. Schism or Fear itself be damned.
Nice.
It really seems like this story, as speculated, was actively held back on so that this creative team could tell it in the pages of Young Avengers, and it's just taken this long to get around to it.
Nice.
Very good.
Now, I see Cassius in the chats there asks, if Scarlet Witch can bring back mutants, what's the point of hope?
Mm-hmm. Nah.
Hope is something else. I don't know. Hope is probably more about... Hope is about a symbol for mutant kind, really, more than any ability to bring back. I'm not actually sure.
They kind of talked about that in that issue, too, that I was reading. I didn't touch on it, but yeah, they even said they described her as, like, the hope of mutant kind or something, and she just kind of, like, it's like, you know, blew it off and was like, yeah, I just want to go shopping.
Because who doesn't?
She represents, like... She represents the future. She's an icon for something else. And as Dr. Seto was also just pointed out in the chat, there's something going on with the Phoenix Force there. Don't know what exactly. They intimated it during Second Coming as well. There's something going on there. So just because Wanda can do this now. And as I say, there's every chance they may go around and they may not go all the way through with it. But if they've held off this long on the story, maybe this is why. Anyway, the books I'm actually going to talk about. Okay. Let's see, which one of these am I going to start with? All right. Little something different for you. Little something different. This week, first I'm going to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog, issue number 2.
Awesome.
Wow.
Okay, a little bit of backstory. Not enough to do you any harm. Just a little taste. This is a four-part Sonic story called Genesis, which I have decided to check out. Now, this is Sonic the Hedgehog from Archie. It's the only comic that you Americans will ever have really known of Sonic. And it was one that was produced with only the most basic conceit of what the games were about. He's a hedgehog, fights a guy that makes robots on a planet in Mobius. That's it. And it's basically the same world as the more popular Sonic cartoon, not the Adventures of Sonic, but just Sonic the Hedgehog, the darker one with Robotropolis and people being roboticized and what have you. It's that universe. Now, I never gave two shits about this Sonic the Hedgehog because it didn't in any way accurately reflect the world of the games. Now, I'm not usually given to the mentality, but I'm completely G1 for Sonic on the Mega Drive. I'm sorry, the Genesis. it was a Mega Drive over here. I'm completely G1. I can't enjoy modern Sonic or modern Sonic fiction because they changed everything.
I don't think a lot of people can enjoy modern Sonic, by the way.
I just don't cotton on to the fact that the way they ported over the Japanese... Well, I mean, they couldn't have ported over because the Japanese were making the game, so it was unavoidable. But basically, Sonic the Comic was the UK's Sonic the Hedgehog comic, fortnightly offering, which made it its business to accurately translate the world of Sonic the Hedgehog and its games into comic book format. Rings, star posts, TV boxes, robots with animals inside them, world broken up into zones, you name it, it was in there. It was about bringing the world of the games into a comic book format, and it was fantastic. I loved Sonic the Comic. I lived Sonic the Comic when I was younger. And hence, I've never been able to get into the Archie Sonic the Comic. Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic the Comic ceased printing years ago at this point. But there is an unofficial online continuation, Sonic the Comic Online. Strongly recommended that you check it out if you're read STC, as it was called. STC. Anyway. To get to the point of why I've decided to pick this up. This Genesis story is basically Flashpoint Sonic the Hedgehog.
Ooh.
At the conclusion of the previous story, issue 225, which I leafed for the purposes of preparing myself just to see if there was a reason, crazy old Dr. Robotnik, because that's his fucking name.
Stuff not Eggman.
Stuff your Eggman up your arse.
He ain't Eggman. He's Dr. Robotnik.
He triggered some kind of weapon which turned the world white, just a wash of white energy, and the last page was just blank. And whenever Genesis begins, hey, it's Sonic the Hedgehog 1 on the Genesis.
Mmm.
It's a Sonic history reboot.
Wow.
So they did Sonic Forever, much like Turtles Forever.
Well, that's Sonic Generations, isn't it? That's happening. That's happening in a game, isn't it? Yeah. No, this is about Sonic. It just he starts off with Sonic running through the Green Hill Zone. Feels like I dozed off for a minute there. What was I doing again? And then off we go. He remembers what he was doing, and he's doing Sonic the Hedgehog 1. Fights his way through the Green Hill Zone. But in the Archie universe, it's taking the game and transplanting it into the Archie universe, which is, you know, just that it pushes my buttons, you know. So he gets to the end of the zone, of course, and instead of Robotnik in that Egomatic with the swinging ball, it's Snively, Robotnik's nephew and hench person from the Archie comics. And contained inside that canister thing that you used to have to jump on the top of are all of the freedom fighters from the Archie comics. Sally, she's not a princess here. Sally Acorn. I don't know if she's Sally Acorn. Boomer. The funny thing is, like, they're normally Princess Sally, Rotor, and Antoine, but here they've gone back to Rotor's preliminary name of Boomer and Antoine's surname from the cartoon Depardieu instead of Decoulette, which is his Archie surname. I don't know how I know this. Don't look at me like that, okay? I don't read it.
I don't know how you know this either.
Yeah. And anyway, with their help, they talk about being freedom fighters against Eggman, because this is before he's conquered the planet or anything like that, because, you know, he's in charge. He's conquered the planet by the time of the normal Archie series. So this is about his first attack, his first takeover. We get all the classic badniks popping up with the proper names. They travel to the Marble Zone, believing that they'll find a secret passage under there. Robotnik appears, dropping the lava bombs like he does at the end of the Marvel Zone, and you know it's essentially literally just taking the games and putting them into game singular and putting it into comic book format. Except at the end they go into the Labyrinth Zone instead of the Spring Yard Zone. What the fuck is that shit? It's not right at all. Next issue also has a version. The cover for next issue has Tails and the Sonic 2 logo on it, so I don't know exactly what way this is going to go in the future. But barring a few insinuations that the characters remember each other, this is all treated as the characters' first time meeting each other and everything. I mean, this is just fresh start. This is full-on fresh start, standalone reboot continuity stuff. But there are a few insinuations like that this just feels right, or that's called that they remember the names of badniks just because, you know, all the little insinuations in there that this is not right, it's not the way things should be, that they do have some lingering memories of where things are, but that's not intrusive or anything in a way that you couldn't literally just pick this up and see that you were reading Sonic the Hedgehog 1 in comic book format, which is precisely why I picked it up. It's being written by Ian Flynn, who's the regular Sonic writer, and the pencil breakdowns are by Patrick Spaziante, who is one of the, I think I pronounced that right, who is like the premier Sonic Archie artist, as I understand it. I always hear his name being spoken of very highly, and they're finished by Tracy Yardley, who is again the standard Sonic, the current standard Sonic Archie artist. So it's a bit of an all-star collection of creative teams for this rather notable story. You'll see the cover is like it's a version of the Sonic 1
it's
box
like the
art.
Cartridge, yeah. Yeah. The box art, yeah. Can I ask you a question, since you apparently know way more about Sonic than I could ever know?
Immaculately recycle your video, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was a big fan of the Sonic CD game. Did they ever incorporate that into the comics? Like, you know, like the Metal Sonic and the time traveling, and I think there was like a pink little Sonic girl in it, Amy or something.
Amy is standard now in all the Sonic games. I would assume Archie did. I honestly couldn't swear to it. Sonic the comic did in a 5-part story called Sonic Terminator, which ran all one summer and was fucking awesome. Metal Sonic? Metallics was his name, and he was part of a legion of robot Sonics, and he traveled back in time and infected the miracle planet that orbits Mobius with machinery that powered him in the future, and Sonic went back with a time stone and totally erased his ass from time. It was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sonic the Comic. And I encourage anybody to read it. If I didn't have that love for Sonic the Comic and the fact that it was the games as comics. I mean, obviously Sonic the Comic did loads of other stuff that was, and there were tons of elements that were unique to Sonic the Comic itself. But it was about presenting them in the world of Sonic as it existed in the games, zones, rings, all the stuff, you know. Whereas Archie has never, you know, power rings in the Archie continuity were technological devices that Sonic's uncle invented to give him speed boosts. Where in this, they were natural phenomenon that littered the planet. You know, they were just there. Like in the games!
So, like, when you killed the robot bunnies, did brains pop everywhere or something? Or did bunnies jump out of them? Or?
The robots are powered by organic batteries. The badniks were powered animals, which acted like organic batteries to fuel them. And that's actually in here. So I don't know if that was part of Archie, or if that's something that they... Archie established that Robotnik roboticized things. So he transformed other creatures into robots. But this, again, goes through with the Sonic the Comic original game style, where they're a robot shell that's powered by an animal inside.
Like a hamster running on a hamster wheel, and it's a giant robot hamster.
Yeah, something like that, but more like the Matrix.
Oh, okay.
Stuck on bioenergy of them. But this is kind of an excuse to me to go on about how great Sonic the Comic was. But I'm going to pick up at least this four-part story. And then if it's going to... They say that things will then pick up as normal afterwards with the reboot involved in this reflected and changed continuity. So it's Flashpoint. It's Flashpoint for Sonic the Hedgehog. And maybe I'll use this as my chance to finally jump onto the Archie Sonic comics in some way. But it stands alone pretty well, and if you're a fan of Sonic but can't just be having with all of that other nonsense what you get these days, have a go at this, because it's just like you remember it, but with a few tweaks. Sonic, yes. Who knew?
Nice.
Now, the other thing is potentially even weirder. Now, this one, I kept seeing this in previews. I kept looking at it. I was going, something about that intrigues me, but I can't buy that. Because it's 15 Love Marvel. Tennis comic. But then I heard a review of it on another podcast where they were talking about how good it was, and I was like, shit, you're telling me that's good? I have to read it. This was originally going to come out like 8 years ago. This was the product of the Jameis and Quesada era. But when Trouble, about the sexy, sexy adventures of Aunt May, didn't go over so well. This got shelved. And it's pretty obvious that this was going to be a 6-issue miniseries, but which has now been condensed into 3 double-sized books. 44 pages of story with 1 ad and a intro page and a next issue page for $5. So $2.50 a comic. You're getting your money's worth there. And this is exactly the story that you think it is. This is a story of Millie Collins, or Mill Collins, as she likes to be called, who is the lowest-ranked member at a tennis academy, and who's doing her best, but God love her, crappy coach, unsupportive relatives, she just can't make it work, that crazy girl. Could it be that the slovenly, unorthodox coach who's been gone from the sport for a while but is looking for a chance to break back in holds the secret to success for her? Well, what do you think? You have seen this film. This is every sporting film ever. But it's tremendous fun. I can't really describe the plot in any more detail than that, because it is exactly what you think. It's like, oh, you know, his first thing that the unorthodox coach does, he goes and gives her a day off on her first day, takes him to his wife, gives her a beauty makeover, 1 day off a week, and then they do a bit of training, and then it's time for the ultimatum is she's going to get kicked out of the academy if she doesn't win her next match, but also boys and shopping.
Wow.
The
Nope.
The funny twist on.
Hold on just a second.
That her aunt is Millie the model.
Okay.
I think it was it Atlas? But that's because that's how the film goes. You know, don't you lie to me about your coach sucking and whatever. You're not allowed to go and train with that unorthodox man who's been banned from the sport or whatever. But the real twist of this is when it gets to the end, and I'm not going to spoil this because it gets to the end, and it ends, and basically the way I've described this now as this is, you know, every sporting film about a young team of underdogs that you've ever seen, the end of this issue makes you go, that's not supposed to happen. That's not what happens at this point in the film. What the hell happens next? So I'm certainly reading the next issue of this to find out what happens next. Don't let the title "Seen Love" think that this is a romance coming or anything, because I did. I bought it anyway.
So it doesn't end with everybody standing up and just clapping?
Yeah, there's no slow clap.
That's how they mostly end.
That might be
the
issue.
The Mighty Ducks or something? Everybody stands up, starts clapping then.
The Mighty Ducks with tennis.
Right, then.
No, it does. I mean, this is only one third of the way in, but this is not how this part of the film is supposed to end. It's supposed to go the other way. I can't tell you what it is because I don't want to blow it. Because funnily enough, I actually really, really recommend you go and check this out. That's what I said. You know, it's done in a, let's see here. It's written by Andy Watson, who I'm afraid I don't know. And that's an Andy with an I, Antigo. With Tommy Otsuka on the art. So it's done in a kind of a manga style. It's not done in a, there's no manga dynamics or anything. It's just pretty much a standard American layout, but with American style, manga style graphics, you know. Because this subject matter, of course, is no stranger to the manga format. I mean, I think you would have to do this in manga format to give it any kind of legitimacy, frankly, because the idea of the sporting manga is a genre all its own in Japan. Not something that's ever gained much penetration over here, you know, but, I mean, obviously this is Prince of Tennis with girls, you know, and all the associated, but like any Young Gun sporting underdog film. And, you know, it's pretty standard stuff, but, you know, really enjoyably, just really solidly written stuff. You know, there's laughs in it to be had. The art's nice. Good, solid, dramatic, cinematic. You can feel the oof behind the tennis. You know, you can hear the grunts behind the tennis. You know, I don't know how you make tennis look exciting, because tennis is one of the dullest fucking sports in existence. But this thing manages it, you know. There's a whole page of a girl tossing a ball up in the air over and over again.
I watched curling. That's
Yeah. Well, but the finale of the issue is just really makes you think that's not supposed to happen. And I want to know what happens next. So fuck you. I'm buying it. And I think you should too. 15 love.
Nice. There you go. Yeah, I saw that on the shelf a couple weeks ago. I was like, really?
Really, you know, yeah, that's the natural reaction. I fought this. I fought it.
Wow.
The second issue is out this week, but I don't have it ordered, so I'm going to have to wait till next week to get it.
Awesome.
Okay, just tweeted Chris McFeely's talking some Sonic and girly tennis comic on Fanboy Versus. Okay.
You damn right.
Awesome. So, Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's a comic.
Yeah, it's a comic that happens. There's a lot of... this is kind of, I guess, wrapping up from last issue, where Anti-Venom... Yeah, there's another
Anti-Venom Mr. Negative storyline. This is the second part.
Yeah, this is another Anti-Venom. It's another character that's cool because we told you so.
Well, you know what? To be fair...
Anti-Venom is pretty cool.
Yeah, to be fair, I started liking Anti-Venom in this issue. You know why? Because he's trying so hard to get Spidey's approval that it's actually kind of awesome.
It's kind of sad, but yeah.
So sad.
I liked Anti-Venom out of the gate, honestly. I thought it was a clever concept and a nice spin on the name.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's like the one guy, he knows like Mr. Negative secret. He knows that he's, what's his name, the Lee guy, you know, that's over the homeless shelter or the you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And no one will believe him because he's freaking Eddie Brock.
Because he's crazy. Yeah.
This is awesome. What I'm talking about. No one takes crazy Eddie Brock seriously. I'll show you. I'll show everybody.
Like, yeah, because that's something sane people say. We get a use finally for. I don't think we mentioned it so much last time, but Peter had come up with these voice activated web shooters, and I'm like, when are you ever gonna use those? Well, here you go.
Start a manga.
So, yeah, there you go. Voice activated web shooters apparently do have a use. I don't know how he could muster more strength to talk than to push a button, but there you go.
Well, this particular thing is the anti-venom stuff saps his strength. But right. He can still talk.
And he can't, but he can't move his finger.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
It's
a very precise shot.
Yeah.
Right. So he could lift his hand. Okay, never mind. I am just going to accept that is what happens. And
quit destroying the illusion, JD.
I know. Okay, anyway. The Wraith shows back up, claiming once again to be Jean DeWolf. But yet, we see that... Carly, she's a sharp one there. She used infrared cameras to see that she has a heat signature, which means she's alive. She's not a ghost. She's got to be a person. We're keeping the goblin subplot alive, and we're even told what comics we needed to read to see him.
Yeah, I read at least one of those.
Yeah, not the other. I get it. Yeah. It was Spider-Girl, wasn't it?
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you know that council comic?
Yep, that one. Anyway, all this stuff with Jameson and Lee. But the important thing is that Eddie's hiding out as a guard here and overhears when the shipment of drugs is coming in. So very important information there at the museum. Beautiful part where Peter has used the voice activated web shooter to get this acid stuff, this acetone, to melt the webbing. And he, this very dramatic moment where he's like burning his own flesh somewhat.
Spider-Man
to get out.
Don't give up. Oh, yes. Think of all the little children. Ah.
Breaks out, and just as he breaks out.
Danger, I gotta get loose.
Yep. Just as he breaks out and gets free, Eddie shows back up and wraps him up again.
I think I actually shouted, son of a bitch!
Which is like, and Peter's reaction is perfect. It's like, oh, come on!
See, this is why Anti-Venom's now actually good, because that's just awesome.
Yeah. So, wraps him up and takes it with him.
Spin that really stock Spider-Man element on its head like that, you know, because that is a really, you know, stock, I'm always in trouble, oh, I can't give up on all the people counting on me, I'm free. That's a really stock Spider-Man thing. And then it's like...
Right, lock right back up. And the great line here, the sort of cap on that, he's like, so be honest, does Wolverine carry you crime scenes? Dude, you really need a girlfriend. Again, Carly, very smart. Uses a little bit of detective work.
How has she not figured out Peter is Spider-Man yet?
That's the part I don't know, but it's one of those...
Maybe she knows.
It's like, how does Lois Lane not know? It's like, how does Lois Lane not know that Clark Kent, Superman, you know? Anyway, so Venom locks Peter up to a statue at the museum. And then totally gets stabbed. Stabbed by Mr. Negative's sword, which apparently screws with him pretty hardcore.
He can't heal from things anymore.
You can't heal from that particular. Yeah, that's really messed up his power set.
Something has happened to your healing ability. Something negative.
So cliche. Hey, oh my god, it was awesome. It was so terrible. It was great. But hey, the Wraith shows up, save the day, breaks Peter out. And he immediately teams up with her, even though he has no idea who it is. But apparently,
I recognize all that text Mysterio's right. But if you're here to stop bad guys, count me in. Right now, my standards for partners are pretty low. She doesn't say anything.
Yeah,
and she just say, "Let's go."
Yeah, like, all right then. So brief bit of a tussle with Mr. Negative. And Wraith shows that, well, okay, I guess before this we've got the Dragon's Breath, which is the death gas that's attuned to your DNA.
Yeah, like he gets the blood of people, and then like it's like a he can then turn it into like a death gas that will kill just you, I think.
Yes,
and we know from like a previous story that he thinks he's got Spidey's blood, but we know thanks to the Black Cat. Yeah, it's been a while. We know thanks to the Black Cat that it's not Spidey's blood that he put in that gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pig blood or whatever. Now, by this time, Peter has set off the alarms by figuring out that the alarms in the other parts of the museum weren't active and turns them on. But again, Wraith is also apparently very smart because she uses face recognition technology, which is impartial. The whole thing with Mr. Negative, the whole reason that people don't believe that Mr. Lee, this Lee guy is Mr. Negative, is because of the negative effect. It changes people's perception of how he looks. So she uses technology to circumvent that. And prove that he's actually this Martin Lee, and then simultaneously broadcast that to like the surrounding everywhere.
Up
and,
your face, you bastard.
Yeah, just totally.
Like really just sticking it to him.
Oh,
like,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, just.
Don't you just love it when the villain just gets completely irrevocably.
He's been around for so long. I kept thinking, where are they going to take him down? And he finally did.
He's brand new day right out of the gate. He was one of the earliest creations.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
A couple of years now.
And a brilliant out, you know. So he has to retreat. And Wraith.
Wait. There's that scene where Jonah Jameson sees the report. Same day I do a photo op with this man. How can he do this to me? No reason to blame yourself. Of course not! I blame Spider-Man!
Which is perfect.
Because why not?
Yep, because it's always his fault. Wraith doesn't want to face the police, so she books it. And Spider-Man takes the negative sword out of Eddie, and he heals pretty much instantaneously. And then Spider-Man has to admit that Eddie was right.
It's all I wanted to hear. You know I wasn't lying. You know I'm not crazy.
The perfect follow-up. Like, whoa! Let's not get carried away. That doesn't prove you're not crazy. It just means that you were right.
Look at Spidey. Oh, I love this bit as well. This is so great. This is great that Spidey gets to do this. Not police. Police! Nobody move! This is the point where Spidey usually just swings away.
I know,
it's
like, nope.
Okay, officers, Avengers community card.
Yep.
Just be in the back. Nim statues for the heroin.
I'm an Avenger, and I'm going to explain this.
Spidey's an Avenger now, a bit.
So Carly figures out the bit that Spider-Man didn't, which is that Captain Wannabe is... the Wraith. Now, does anybody believe that there isn't another level to this, though?
It's so offhandedly revealed, I can't help but think there must be.
Well, I mean, first of all, her name is Yura Wannabe.
Watanabe.
Wantabe. Dude, when you look at it on the page, come on, we are talking about Dan Slott here. The character's name is Yuri Wantabe.
Watanabe.
Dude, I'm telling you. There's something up with this character. This character is not legit.
I don't doubt it, but I don't think it's because you can't read her name.
I'm telling you, if you say it fast enough, it sounds like you're a wannabe.
What nubby?
You're a wannabe. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm telling you, this is... all right, I might be wrong. I usually am, but...
I'm just saying, I don't think that's necessarily a clue. I'm not saying you're wrong in the fact that there's not anything else going on, because there's no dramatic unmasking. There's just, hey, I thought... And it's like, yeah. And then, okay, on we go then.
Yeah.
Like, so, are
you?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm waiting for this character to turn out to be Chameleon or something, so... But anyway. And then Lee's in a bit of a bind, if you will.
You wicked bitch.
Yeah. So, since he's got to be locked up until he becomes Mr. Negative again, and they figure out what the hell to do. And then Peter basically confesses, sort of ends with Eddie feeling on a high note, and then Peter sort of giving one of his fake confessions.
I've been funding Spider-Man for years. Now he's going to start Spider-Man Inc.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, and this could totally backfire because this, again, is just another layer of lie, essentially.
Yeah. That, well, look, one thing I want to go back to, like, Anavenom real quick. I just love that really heroic pose, him sitting on the gargoyle and saying, yeah. Finally, at long last, they know I was right. Everyone knows. This is the day everything changes. The
no.
day it all turns around. I'm the day I'm the hero. That's so awesome.
No. No, it's not going to be that way.
It's going to work out for you, Eddie.
Yeah.
Cassius asking when we saw Chameleon last. He was part of that Sinister
not
Six.
Not long ago.
Just
yeah,
a few
yeah,
issues ago.
Just a couple issues.
So yeah. So he's been around, but this would not surprise me to be something along those lines, especially considering the tech he's using, but or that she's using that we don't know. Anyway, yeah, it was in FF, I believe. No, it was.
An Amazing Spidey.
Was it? Yeah, or was it in Avengers Academy?
No, no, those were all in Amazing Spidey.
Oh, that's
Spidey.
Right. That's but there was they were in FF too. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, they weren't.
They were. Weren't?
No, they weren't.
No, they were in Amazing. Okay.
It was all in Amazing Spidey.
Oh, that's right, right, right. Because we were commenting.
We were commenting
that it was. Yeah. Anyway. And then there's a little bit of the backup, the prelude stuff to Infested. Stuff, stage 5. Anyway.
Spidey's getting trained.
The way of the spider.
Which is basically just a lot of pages of multiple jumping shots and some talking. So, anyway.
I like this artist.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
But the art is really, there's not a lot of story here.
Max Fiumara, the artist on this.
So,
is
the next
this
issue.
Last edition? Is it all... I don't know whether there's like a one shot or something beforehand.
Is the next issue the first issue of
Well, you can turn to the back here.
The next issue is some kind of one shot. Then the next issue is the prelude, and then it starts Enforced in August.
Yeah, 666 July.
What am I getting? Let's see here. I'm going to get Amazing Spidey. I'm going to get that Cloak and Dagger miniseries because it's got a good creative team. That's the one that's by Nick Spencer and Emma Rios. Cloak and Dagger, Emma Rios did the Osborn miniseries.
Yeah.
Secret Revenge. Deadly Foes. You all need Deadly Foes. That's Gage, Van Lente, and Slott on that one book together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you all need that. I'll not be bothering Shang-Chi or Spider-Girl. No. I might get some of the one-shots. I might get that. There's a couple of the one-shots. I'll probably get that Avengers one-shot in the next month after that. I'll probably pick up that the Spider-Woman one-shot's being written by Fred Van Lente again. So I'll
Herc
get that.
Tie-in. A couple of Herc tie-ins.
Getting them anyway. And, I'll probably not bother with the Heroes for Hire one-shot or Black Panther.
Nah, pass.
I'm not a big fan of the way that they've done this with these mini-events like Shadowland or Chaos War lately, turning them into something bigger than they need to be. But to be fair, they have been trailing this pretty hard, and it seems like there's quality creators on it. I'm not a big fan of the fact that they're making it huge, but...
Yeah.
It seems this will probably beat the curve by being decent.
So
that's
awesome.
That's Spidey.
Yeah, so that's Spidey.
Yeah.
Like I said,
quality.
We'll see. So, but anyway, yeah, Eddie was right. That's the most important thing to remember. Eddie was right. So, anyway.
Stop printing the t-shirts!
Yeah.
Eddie was right. Just a big Venom. Eddie was right.
The anti-Venom was, Eddie was right. That's pretty much the show for this week. Like I said, next week hopefully we'll have Nicole back. Hopefully we'll have more comics because it'll be the first week of the month. So that'll be
Flashpoint FN.
So Flashpoint FF.
That in of itself, but there'll be more stuff.
For yourself. Other stuff as well, so good things. We did talk about Dark on the Moon, but I don't know that I mentioned on the show. If you've seen Dark of the Moon and you want to see or you want to listen and watch RFC's review of that, you can check that out. That's on tfradio.net. The YouTube is available for that as well. But it is all spoiler-based. It is basically just a through review of the movie and a lot of fun. So you were on that, Triplet. So
yep.
Triplet was there.
It was the super spoiler cast.
It was the super spoiler cast. So that's why, like I said, we haven't talked about it on the show. Go check that out if you're interested in at least our opinions of it. McFeely, we don't care what he thinks.
No.
So, no. He's too much of a fanboy.
I'll be talking about the comic book adaptation on the Underbase this week, hopefully.
Nice. Ooh, so
I'd like to know about that.
That'll be.
So I'll share some thoughts on the film then as well, and more to the brief talk about the adaptation itself. More of a review of the exclusive prose stories that were included as backup material in the individual issues of that.
Did anybody read the novel? Was the novel very different from the movie?
I don't think
it's huge. It's about as different as the comics, so the ending is different.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and there's some other skid and mud flapper in it.
Ah, well, that's too bad.
I like skids and mud flapper.
So, my wife did too. But, yeah, I don't think any other movies or anything are coming out this next week. So
no,
mostly just comics and stuff next week to look forward to. Again, check us out, tfradio.net, fanboyversus.com, on Twitter, fanboyvs, hopefully Google Plus soon. As soon as that comes out. I'm on Google Plus. It's a lot of fun. So that's all I'll say. Other stuff as well, there at tfradio.net, other shows. This week is going to mark the sort of relaunch, I think, if you will, of New Soundwave. Still going to be a video game podcast. I think they've got a slightly updated cast on that show and some really awesome intro. So if you're into watching the show, the intro for that show is absolutely amazing. I don't think we've released it yet, but and it should be on this coming week.
I've seen it.
Freaking awesome.
It's very good.
I'm like, man, our intro sucks for this show, but John did a great job. So John should be doing us an intro and maybe some new graphics as well. So,
cool graphics.
Yeah, new graphic would be kind of cool.
Computer graphics. So,
yeah, that's a great intro. I can't wait to see that in the show. But anyway, check that out, tfradio.net, for all that stuff. Anyway, that's it. That's our show for this week. Thank you again for tuning in. If you tuned in live, thanks for watching us online or listening as well, on your mobile device or podcasting paraphernalia thereof. So anyway, thanks for tuning in, and please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy versus... Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.